Well, hello, and welcome to Watch What Crappens, the podcast for all that crap you just love to talk about on your bros. I'm Ronnie, and that's Ben over there. Hi, Ben.
Hi.
Today is a very exciting day for us because it is our first day on our new network, Midroll.
Woo!
So everybody who has been listening to all of our past episodes throughout the corona, they will still be available. We're just switching over networks, and so there's a lot of switchover being done and lots of things being fixed. So don't worry, all of those archives will still be available, still free, etc., etc. Okay?
Yeah, they're just like, you know what, they're on their Real Housewives vacation for the season, so they'll be back shortly. they're somewhere in like the Caribbean fighting, okay? But the episodes will be back. And definitely follow us on our social media, on Instagram at Watch What Crappens or on Twitter at What Crappens. And we will update as soon as everything is all sorted. But that's follow us and you'll always be in the loop about what's going on, etc.
Yes. And for those newbies coming in from Midroll, welcome to the family. Hope you stay a while. We're extremely annoying and you'll get used to it. Just yeah. Let us brainwash you for a while. We do bonuses every week and we do two video recaps a week. Currently, we're doing Beverly Hills. And this week, The Real Housewives of New York season finale. Those are all available over on our Patreon, patreon.com/watchwhatcrappens. We also have masks that you can go buy. Masks? God, I'm getting gayer. You know, my voice is getting gayer by the day. My tongue gets lazier and lazier. Ba-da-da. But, guys, go get my gay, lazy tongue a mask over at crappensmerch.com. And today...
Wait, we also have to give a shout-out to Amy Phillips. We just recorded an episode on Reality Checked with Amy Phillips on Sirius XM, Radio Andy.
Yes.
So much fun. God, we love Amy Phillips. And it's always so fun when we get to, like, come together and record with her. So if you have Sirius XM, go check out her show and go listen to us.
Yeah, she's a really, really cool chick. And she's a friend in real life. And so it's really good to talk to you. Real life friends during this crazy time where we're all just stuck inside talking to ourselves and watching Unwell on Netflix.
Ooh, yes. I still have to watch that, but I'm going to watch it. I'm going to watch the Essential Oils episode. I'm so excited.
Yeah, I watched the Essential Oils and the fasting one because you know I love a fast, girl.
Yeah,
I love ruining my metabolism. It's like one of my old time hobbies. And there's a whole episode about how I could die or just feel great. You never really know.
Isn't that life?
Yeah. They don't make a concrete judgment on anything. So you're like, essential oils could kill me and rob me of all my money, or they could cure autism. Who knows?
So it's like one of those really annoying Facebook status updates where someone posts something controversial and just says, interesting food for thought. It's like, oh, you're not taking a stand, are you? You're just putting this out there.
Yes.
Okay, great.
Yes. It's basically concern trolling. It's an entire show dedicated to concern trolling. So thank you.
That's
Netflix.
Okay. So Real Housewives of Potomac, new episode. I was cracking up. Loved it. Loving Wendy. I love Wendy. She is great to me. You know, a little irrational. Don't care at this moment. Maybe down the line I will, but as of right now, man, I loved her on this episode.
Yeah, right now you're into it, huh? Well, I was very proud of her because it's, you know, a big moment in a Housewives first season to have their first big fight, and this was it. You know, we all witnessed her first big fight of the season.
She held her own. She held her own, and I would even say that I think that she actually won her fight, even if she was being a little unreasonable. I still think she won. So the episode opens up with, you know, the usual shots of things all around Potomac. And there was like, I'm assuming it was like a fire barge. We saw it like, it was like, we saw a body of water and there was a boat in it. And it had all these like, it was like, almost like hoses, like this water just like spewing all over it. Did you see that boat?
Yeah. What are those boats? Was that in a man-made lake though?
I was so confused about everything. I'm assuming it was a fire barge.
Sprinklers that just like sprinkle, like put water in lakes, but I don't know.
Maybe it was that. I don't know, but I was like, that is so Karen Huger. Karen Huger would totally be the one to be like, oh, look at me. Look at my fancy water jets. I got water jets everywhere. I've got the most fancy water jets. Like Karen We see you're in a lake and you're just taking the water from the lake and spewing it out. Okay, Karen?
I think it's a home, like one of those planned community lake things that you have to like fill with water or whatever, which is, you know, always great. I mean, we live in California, so there's always water shortages and stuff. So I see water squirting out of anything and I'm like, are you kidding me? Have some respect.
I'm trying to look up fire barges.
God, this is going to be that kind of a day.
It looked like it was like a firefighting barge, but it was, the thing was that it seemed like it had like six jets and they were all going in different directions. And so I was like, there's no fire in sight. So what are you doing? Are you practicing? Like, I didn't understand why there were so many streams of water, but again, so Karen Huger, because it just didn't really make sense, yet it fit with this show perfectly.
Yeah. They were basically just going,
Ray, got to put out these fires because this lake is hot, Ray.
Yeah. And then we see our new animal of the show, which I don't know if I'm really on board with this, but instead of seeing like the ducks this week or the doe, we see those fake swans, those blow-up swans that everybody has in their pool now, those Lisa Vanderpump swans.
Yeah, but they were like sad because those swans look really cute when they're on like in like a cool pool by an Airbnb, but like these were just like in a...
It was a troop like a weird, of them.
Yeah, and they were by like a lake and like a pontoon or something. Like they were just like, it was not in an inflatable swan space. Like that's a space for a fire barge.
It was like 100 of them all grouped together like stormtroopers, you know? Like what are those things going to do? Like they're going to be deployed soon.
It was like someone said, okay, I know this is just a random lake, man-made lake in a planned community, but we're going to try to make it seem like a hip beach club in Miami. And we're going to put a bunch of these inflatable ducks and everyone can come here and just be careful of snapping turtles.
Well, here's what I will say. B-team, B-roll footage team, you've really given us a lot to talk about.
We've really...
Just wow.
Really, yeah. You so really captured our imagination today.
So
Ronnie said before the episode, BIS, let's do a quick episode. And I'm like, can we talk about that boat that we saw for 1 second at the top of the episode? What's the deal with those jets?
Well, streaming water jets and troops of killer inflatable swans.
Yeah.
So Candy S is on her computer at home, which still makes me crazy because she's got one of those little marble covers on it. And I don't know why it makes me crazy, but it does. I hate it, okay? And she's like, wow, she's looking at houses. And she's like, this is nice. This is large. The stairs are nice. And then they close up on her stupid TJ Maxx clock. And I'm like, you know what? You don't deserve a house.
And the house that she's looking at is hideous. It is we see this shot of like, I think it's the foyer or something. There's just like one random marble column in it, and then there's just like a wall, there's three tiny windows up in the back corner of it that are all, they're like a foot tall. I'm like, what is this strange bunker you've chosen with a carpeted staircase and a singular marble column and three tiny windows? What?
Yeah, it was of like course a really Candace bad would look at that. McMansion that of course she loves. And when she's criticizing it, she's like, well, I don't like that chandelier. You don't like that chandelier? Have you seen the rest of the picture? It's terrible.
Yeah, and then the exterior, it has like all these strange topiaries. It was like a house that didn't quite make the cut to be in Edward Scissorhands. Like, did you see those topiaries?
So Chris comes in and he has wine. I don't know. You know, sometimes we take notes on
Chris
stuff. I'm like, does this have anything to do with the inflatable swans? Because otherwise I have no interest in this scene.
The swans were more interesting than this scene. Chris comes in with wine and then she makes him give a soft kiss because she has makeup on, or she has lipstick on. And they're looking for homes. She's thinking about having a baby. And he basically is asking, like, oh, how was Karen's party from last episode? Give us a recap for those of us who haven't been watching.
Yeah. Also, they showed a clip back when she was like, I peed on a stick. And he was wearing a shirt that says, get off my back, which is hilarious. To have are we going to have a baby yet scene? But yeah, he asked about the block party. And she's like, block party? It was a housewarming party. Chris, stupid.
Yeah.
She says that she went to Giselle, and then they close up, not close enough that I could read it, but also I'm like really old now, so I can't read things, but she had one of those like wine o'clock signs from TJ Maxx. It was like, One wine is wine, and two wines is wine. You know, stupid, the stupid signs.
Yeah. Yeah.
A Candace clever wine sign.
Yeah, clever. Like, I'm a clever wine drinker. So,
9 o'clock somewhere.
Yeah. 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock floor. Oh, wait. No, I got that wrong. It's one tequila, two tequila. But the TGM Maxx version would be 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock. Yeah. At 4 o'clock, you just pass out.
Like those signs Gretchen used to have on Real Housewives of Orange County. Paris, 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 Paris. Look, it's Paris in 10 different languages.
Or Tamara's kitchen that had a big poster that just said focaccia. Focaccia batch.
So they start, she does an imitation of Giselle, and she's like, "Oh, I heard you called me a monster." And Chris is like, "Wow, was she sick? Because she doesn't really talk like that."
So then we learn that Monique has invited everyone to her lake house, so that way they can all reintroduce themselves, because they've all been around each other for so many years, and then they're a lot different than where they started off. So let's reintroduce ourselves at a lake house. And the husbands can come the last night of the lake house adventure.
Yes, because they've all just changed so much.
So much.
Candace doesn't want to go, but Chris is like, just go. You're on TV. You can't be looking at houses on Zillow and then not go to work in the same day. Get to work, basically.
Yeah, exactly. And Candace is basically like, you know, my issues with Giselle, it's like, whatever, we can fix that. But with Monique, it's more personal, because she's put a lot more into that relationship. So much more.
So much. And then we go to movies. We're in Letterboxd now. And this is a film in a movie theater. Quick cut. Quick. It's a house made out of bricks. Smaller. It's,
hi, I'm Robin. It's Robin's house. I'm trying to pack. Oh, no. My kid is on my bag. Oh, I guess I can't go now. I guess my kid is going to pack himself into my suitcase. Oh.
God, her that kid, every week, Carter, does something just like I did as a kid. You know, it's like you're picking out her clothes while she's going on a trip. Now, you know, you need to sit there and listen to all the gossip during wine time at the park instead of playing with the kids.
Yeah, he is always flopping himself right into her business. Like, literally flopping. Like, she'll be doing something and he'll just, like, flop on top of it. Yeah. Like, she'll be playing Scrabble with a friend and he'll just like throw himself onto the board, be like, what are you doing?
Yeah, it's so crazy seeing like a mirror of yourself on TV but thin. Weird.
So then we go over to Karen, and Karen's like, what I think about it, couples at this trip, couples, we got work to do, baby. You know what I'm saying, Ray? We got work to do.
And he's like, well, we did that couples massage. And she goes, you fell asleep, Ray. Come on, Ray. And Karen's big movie thing in the letterbox action movie sequence is flashes of her chandeliers.
It's like, look, there's another chandelier. There's a chandelier in the dining room. Don't forget that one.
More and more chandeliers. So then we go to Wendy, who's just walking around her house with her baby. And then we see Giselle, who is packing.
She's pumping with her damn pumping machine, you know? Like, she can't get away from that thing. She's chained to it.
Yeah. Exactly. Chained to the pump machine rhythm. So so then Giselle's packing. On another trip, I go. And she's calling up Jamal's assistant to coordinate a time when she can see him, which is apparently very difficult. Sounds like great foundation to a relationship.
Yes. Listen, you want to see a busy iCal? Look at Jesus's iCal. Okay. Holy people are very, very fishing. Like, okay, here's what we're going to do today. Catch a fish. Turn it into 30 fish. Find a piece of bread. Turn it into 30 pieces. It's a very busy iCal.
It's a lot of work.
It is.
I don't know. I'm just sort of the mindset that if you have cheated on your wife and now you want to get back with her, if she calls and says she wants to hang out with you, you tell your assistant, you make it happen. Just make it happen.
Well, I wouldn't mess with Ravi, would you? This assistant knows everything. She controls everything in his life. She's like, well, we'll try and get him there the 4th of November. That's Grace's birthday, right? Giselle's like, is it? Okay. Well, I'll just
keep
calling.
We can make a reservation at Arizona's.
Yeah. I'll just keep calling and we'll make something happen. And Ravi's like, I just want you to know I love you both. Okay? Very much.
Ravi's pulling the strings there. Ravi's like, I just don't want him to go back to Phaedra, okay? She was a nightmare for me.
So then we go over to Ashley and Michael's for, as Amy Phillips pointed out, it's one of the most awkward scenes of all time. And it really is. This is an awkward kind of love.
Yeah, Michael's being like a condescending father at this moment because Ashley's packing and doing the normal packing scene, which is like, oh, I wonder what girls are going to be there. I wonder how everyone's going to be. Oh, I wonder what I'm going to wear. I mean, I'm sort of on good terms with the girls, but I don't know. And he just goes,
shh.
I finally got him to sleep.
He's finally asleep. I did that. Look at that. I'm like, you just picked up that damn baby when you saw a camera. Shut up. You did not do anything to get that baby to sleep unless you went over your resume or some bullshit like that. Shut up, Michael.
And he's holding Dean in such a strange way. Dean looks like he's doing the Blair Witch Project on his chest. It's just his head is just like buried in it in this really strange angle. I'm like, is that how Dean's head should be?
He's like, are you all taking the baby, right?
Well, I mean, yeah, but... Well, you all taking the baby. You all taking the baby because you should be taking the baby. You just don't have the confidence to believe that you should be taking the baby, all right? You need more confidence. When I'm getting a lap dance next week, I need to make sure that my wife is confident.
He needs to be with his mom while he's this young, because if he's with me when he's this young, well, there just aren't enough asses for both of us to grab.
He needs his mom when he's young. It's not good for a baby to be away from his mom for 3 days.
That's... Do you know what could happen to him? He could lose all his ability to run a restaurant.
I say that's the best time to leave a baby. What do they know when they're 3 days old? For Christ's sake. Don't know. Just put them in a shoebox, you know?
You have
leave
a nanny, you got Sheila. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And Ashley's like, I'm not disagreeing with you. He's like, I mean, if you're away for 3 days, which is a long time, that's no good for a baby to be away from his mom for 3 days. Because 3 days, 3 days. Who knows what could happen in 3 days? You could drive somewhere and park and go somewhere. And get in the back in the car and drive back all in 3 days.
Look how good you're looking, babe. Look at your body. You look like a muscle person. You look like a muscle person. That's what I was trying to say. Muscle person. It's hot. It's hot.
You look like a big muscular person of indeterminate gender. And she's like, oh, these two muscles here? And she's just like showing off her ass. She's like, no, you've become an ass man. And he's like, I haven't become an ass man. I've become an Ashley man. It's a little bit of wordplay. See? Wordplay. You got to take him. You got to take him. Otherwise, the wordplay will be too intense in this household. Two little males giving wordplay all the time.
Well, glad you found a way to be attracted to your wife 4 years in, or whatever the hell this is now, 5 years in. He's like, I compare other people to you, Ashley. Listen, every other ass I've got in my hands, I compare to yours. And I was like, is this anything like Ashley's ass? Now, listen here, Ivan. I've got a better ass at home, and it's named Ashley. All right.
I mean, I just wish people would understand that part of the reasons why I grab all the cameraman's asses is to understand what asses are like outside of Ashley, because his is so good, I want to make sure I understand it in the context of other asses.
So then we go over to Monique and Chris's house. She's getting ready for this big lake trip and asking Chris for help. And he's like, well, I got some breakfast sandwiches last night at Starbucks.
And T'Challa's there. I'm so sad, by the way. I'm so sad about Chadwick
Real
Boseman.
T'Challa.
Real T'Challa. It was so sad. So sad.
Yeah,
I feel like we can't just be talking about... This is a T'Challa-heavy episode, and I feel like we can't have a T'Challa-heavy episode without acknowledging that, because it is so, so sad.
And then we spent 2 weeks rooting for T'Challa because the bird T'Challa was missing, and then it returned. And
yeah,
it's like, you know, everyone's rooting for T'Challa, and I was just really sad.
It was really sad. Also, I was sad for myself as well that, like, it wasn't the first thing that I thought of. For sure, I truly, when I read the news, I was like really, really sad about it. But I'm also sad that, like, probably like the 10th or 11th thing that I thought of was this bird when I read that news. I'm like, I hate that this bird is like entering this like pop culture grief moment for me right
now.
Like,
why? This is sad for me.
Yeah, like Bravo always gets into my brain.
Yeah.
Even in the worst moments.
Yeah, well, God bless that guy.
Seriously.
So Monique is getting the kids ready, and she's telling the producers everything that she's done. And Monique is one of those people who makes everything sound like a huge dramatic thing. And my sister used to do that. Like, what'd you do today? Well, I went to the store and I got some milk, which was, I mean, really? And then I had to get some, like, beans. And then I went and I got some vegetables. And then I was unparking my car, and it's like, Carly, you went to the store. That's your answer, okay? It doesn't need to be 20 minutes long. You went to the store.
Yeah. Monique is definitely one of those people who fills up her, like, she fills up her life with, like, activities to make it feel like her life is full, if that makes sense. I mean, yes, our lives are full because of activities. But when they're like, what do you have to do to get the lake house ready? And she's just going on and on and on and on. It's like, so you had to bring some Pringles over there, okay? That's what it is.
Yes. I make my life feel full by doing absolutely nothing. And when I'm in bed at 3 in the afternoon, I'm like, look at everything I don't have to do. I think I won, you know? Like, I can either call this manic, like, massive depression, or I won in life. So take your pick.
You won. So Giselle's going to be riding with Monique up to the lake house, and Chris can't believe it. He's like, you and Giselle are riding in the same car? I don't know what's going on.
And she's like, wow, if you can't be friends with somebody after spending 2 hours in the car with them. It's like, when was the last time you took a road trip, ma'am?
I think it usually goes the other way. So Giselle arrives doing like, good morning. And then T'Challa's there, and T'Challa chirps, and they put under it, hey, girl.
Good morning. She's really clinging on to that drag queen slang.
Well, she and Mariah from Married to Medicine also. Mariah loves doing good morning.
Yeah, and clucking.
Yeah.
So, hey girl. So Monique's like, he's about to poop. Get my book. It's out soon. It's about pooping. And Giselle's like, look, I get it. Monique needs somebody to listen to her talk. But who wants to walk around picking up bird poop all day?
Yeah, seriously. And even Chris doesn't like T'Challa. He's like, I don't fool with that bird.
And then, it's the Karen car coming down the drive.
Yeah, and Karen's like, Giselle and Monique, chummy chummy. I just hope that Giselle's fashion sense doesn't rub off on Monique. Thank God Giselle's a good-looking woman, because goddamn, she can't dress at all. I'm ashamed to be seen with her sometimes. Now someone lift me into this Lycra bodysuit with the ruffles. Thank you.
Someone please help me get into this blue jumpsuit with a panther print all over it and crop top.
So Karen arrives in her crop top, etc., and they're all getting into this giant pickup truck, and Chris has T'Challa's tree, which we talked about on Amy's show. This tree perch is so enormous. It is huge. Why does T'Challa need such a huge perch? I will take that back. T'Challa does need that, because T'Challa should probably be in a proper tree where T'Challa is from. But man, that is a huge, huge perch tree to have. That's like, a rich person's tree.
If this bird poop on me, I'm going to be hot. And so Monique is cracking up because the bird does poop.
Yeah. It poops like, Monique is like about to like put the bird in the back or something like that. And it just like poops. And Karen's like,
And we get a close-up, a Bravo close-up, like the flashlight close-up where everything's black and white, but then like the little flashlight spots on the poop, and then it slow-mo comes down. Thanks, Bravo. Really good film work there, guys.
Yeah, you got that parrot pooping. Giselle's like, T'Challa, no. T'Challa, never again. No, no.
And then Karen's like, this truck is big. Anybody gonna... I've got you.
Chris basically takes his like pinky and lifts it under Karen's feet and puts her into the truck.
Now that's a gentleman.
So they're driving, and Giselle is in the back seat with T'Challa. T'Challa's in this like cube, and it is like cracking me up because she's so uncomfortable with that bird right next to her, and T'Challa's just hanging out in the back seat. Like, where are we going? What's going on? What's happening?
Yeah. Imagine how T'Challa feels. Like suddenly you're next to Giselle. It's like, oh god.
Suddenly he's in a small space that smells of Ladam.
Yeah. So they just blah, blah, talky-talky. And Monique's like, oh, God, Karen, of course you were late. You're coming from down the street. How are you late? She's like, I'm a diva. A diva.
She's like, well, divas can be on time, Ma. She's like, well, I'm a late diva. I mean, can't argue with that.
And so Giselle's like, well, you know, I have to go Monday to make a trip to see if my book wins a literary award.
What award is Giselle's book up for? The Calda Knot Medal? What is up? Like, what award? I didn't even know it was on bookshelves.
It was awarded the best less than $5 choice on the Barnes & Noble sale rack.
Most likely to have a red dot on it for the longest amount of time in the Barnes & Noble bargain bin section.
It's about my time as first lady in the church.
And then we see a close-up of the book cover, and it's like the sexiest. It's like big red, glossy, gorgeous lips, and like a little, you know, veil coming down, like a widow veil thing coming down. Yeah. It's like, wow, that's a very sexy book about being the first lady in a church.
Very... Okay. Very sexy. I'm into it. So they're talking about the baby, and like they're basically saying, like, why couldn't Mike watch the baby? Why couldn't Mike watch it? Like, why does the baby have to come? And they're like, and Karen's basically like, there's no way that Michael watches that baby at all. We know it's all Ashley.
Yeah. Oh, and they were showing a part where Giselle from last season was reading from her book to the girls, and she couldn't read it. And Monique said, thank God she has a ghostwriter, because she can't write. And Lord knows, she can barely read.
Yeah, she could use a ghostwriter, too.
Yeah. So funny. Okay, so then we see Wendy in Curlers packing, and she's got the bassoon this year in the Real Housewives of Potomac Orchestra, the character orchestra.
The orchestra. Real Housewives of Potomac Orchestra.
They have like a she's Peter pumping. And the Wolf Orchestra, and she's the bassoon. Like,
David Bowie's narrating the ghost of David Bowie.
Yeah.
pump.
So she's pumping a lot, and then Giselle is back in the car. She's like, well, Wendy has a lot to say about you, Karen. She told Robin. Yeah. And Monique's like, yeah, she said you and Ray don't have sex. And Karen's like, well, I'm shocked to hear that. I don't know this Dendy. She doesn't know me, so I'm going to chalk it up to her maybe being nervous. Look, I see it at mine. Whenever I go to the mall to sign little perfume bottles, I notice that people feel nervous around me. And here's what I do. I look them right in the eye, and I say...
Yes, I always get so nervous that I'm going to accidentally put my finger in that circular part of the floppy disk and ruin all the data that's on it. So I understand nerves. I do.
I'm a ride or die bitch, and you don't want to be on the left side of that ride or die.
It's like, wow, that's a lot of metaphors you're mixing.
It's time for a commercial. It's time for a Crappens commercial.
So they show up at this lake house. There's like a gate with these like two lions. It's like pillars with lions on top. So I'm expecting this like really regal NFL players, and by that I mean not for lazy mom players, estate. And they get there, and so the house is very big on the outside. I was like, oh, that's big. Okay, cool. And then they walk in, and it's like, it is a disaster. Everything is like, it's like your worst nightmare when you watch certain episodes of House Hunters, you know, when they come in and they're like, okay, well, I'm going to need you to be a little imaginative with this space, but we can get it as great views and we can get it at a good price. Like, that's what this house was. It was the one that the realtor has to sort of like like give like a little speech about before people walk into, you know?
Yeah, like, well, okay, this one is close to town, but all the colors are from the couch on the Golden Girls. So, you know, that can be changed.
Okay, I mean, you know, we think we like this eclectic look. You know, here you got a mustard wall here. You've got a pale green going through most of this wall, and then some nice gray blues, too. We like that, personally.
Also, she's rich. How does she have lion statues instead of statues of, like, that lady with eight arms that's holding different, you know, essential oils or whatever? That's her logo of not-so-lazy whatevers.
Yeah.
Come on, Monique. You're rich. You're too rich to be this drab, Monique.
And then there's also this, like, bed. Did you notice that one bed that was, it was, like, a four-post bed, but the posts were almost looked like horns, almost like longhorns, but they could have also been, they sort of spoke of some sort of like antler-esque thing or whatever, but they were really tall, so you sort of thought it was going to be a canopy bed, but it's not a canopy bed, just like a strange,
yeah, like strange elephant bones bed. Canopy bed. Yeah. It was weird, a four-poster bed, which of course like, is Karen's that? Bed.
Of course, I know, of course Karen took that bed. Of course she took it.
There wasn't even a discussion. Monique was like, this is Karen's bed.
He was like, oh, good. A strange, very ostentatious bed that makes no sense. I'll take it.
She's like, y'all are messy as hell. Mm-hmm. Try to make me feel some kind of way about Dendi. I mean, come on, ladies. Monique's like, well, I like her. I just need to know more about her. Well, personally, I don't know her. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I don't even know who she is. Is this someone who's coming to this house this weekend? She's on our cast.
So like, you work for the same organization, Karen. She goes, she's on the board. I need more than that. Do you think she'll get past, you know, being on television and CNN? It's like, oh, so you do know who she is then.
Yeah, exactly. And meanwhile, while they're talking about this, like at the front, Robin's like, hello? Hello? Hello?
The party's here.
So Giselle lets her in, and Karen's like, oh, good, Robin's here, and she's here early. That's a change.
I don't want to miss the party this time. So they show them the golf cart that they have to take to the guest house.
The guest house of the guest house. The guest house at the lake house.
The guest house at the lake house. Yeah, the guest house at the guest house. And everyone's very unimpressed, of course.
They're like, I don't want to live out in the middle of the woods. This sucks.
Yeah, exactly. So they're heading off that way, and Candace is showing up. And Candace, of course, is like, I'm hurt. I'm genuinely hurt by how Monique has handled our friendship. But ultimately, Chris was right. I'm not in a bad place with everyone else in the group, and I do want to have a good time and be on TV. So I'm here. I'm here.
I need money to remove that chandelier from the terrible house I'm going to try to buy.
Yeah. So did they actually get to the... Did they get to the guest house yet?
Yeah, or they got to it, and Giselle and Robin decide they're going to stay there so they don't have to share a bathroom.
Yeah, and the guest house, by the way, is no improvement on the main house. I'm just going to say.
Further away. It's just further away from T'Challa, basically.
Yeah.
So then back in the kitchen of the main house, Robin's like, so Monique, why did you get a bird in the first place? She's like, funny story, but you don't want to hear it. and then she tells us, you know, I just love animals because he enjoys my voice, and the more you talk, the more he learns. So I suspect he'll be saying, drag me, Monique.
Not for lazy moms.
And then Wendy arrives in big diamond glasses, and Giselle's like, oh, look, it's Wendy. I'm not going to make eye contact with Wendy one time. Ha! Oh, look at me. Look at me arranging things on the counter.
Yeah, exactly. And Wendy's like, all that damn driving and we're still in the woods. Still stuck here. So, so Wendy is already like, she's feeling a certain sort of way because I don't think that Ashley has shown up yet, or maybe she has, but she is not feeling the fact that Ashley has brought a baby on the girls' trip.
Right, because Monique announces what rooms everybody's staying in, and Karen gets the king bed, Robin and Giselle get their own house, and then Ashley gets a room with a crib for herself to stay in, and then Wendy is, like, stuck on a little twin bed or something and has to share a room. So she's like,
Yeah, she's kind of like, I thought this was a girl's trip, And like I you know, and again, I said this on Amy's show. I was totally on Wendy's side about this. I think that that Wendy totally has a reason to be annoyed, because I do think that either Monique should have offered her to bring her baby, or Monique should have told Ashley she can't bring a baby, because I just think that's not fair. Like that Wendy went through all this effort of doing all the pumping, whatever, to spend a weekend away, and also maybe a weekend without a baby in her life, and then Ashley's coming with her baby. So I understand why Wendy's annoyed.
I don't care. I can't pretend that I care one way or the other, to be honest. I will say I think that Ashley brought a nanny, or she brought a friend who's going to take care of the baby. So it's not like she brought the baby and then is just going to make everyone deal with it the whole time. So
yeah,
you know, I like that. Nobody told Wendy she
couldn't. I like that she brought the nanny.
She couldn't bring it, but I don't know. It's a fight. I'm like, I'm not really. It's not my place. Like, you go, baby wars. You go with your baby wars.
I'm not sure if it's even wrong that Ashley brought her baby. I just think that, like, I think it sucks for Wendy if she went through all this effort to not bring the baby, to arrange the help, to do the pumping and all that stuff. And then it's like, oh, you could have brought your baby anyway. Or that someone was like, I could see her being annoyed in two different ways. Like, oh, you could have brought your baby anyway. So that sucks. Or the other way around, which is that, like Ashley being like, well, I can't do it. I can't be away from him. And she's like, I just did it. My baby's younger than yours. You know, like, I understand that frustration, too. Is it misdirected? Perhaps. But I understand it because I'm petty. I'm petty, Ronnie.
Well, you're allowed. I mean, I just don't really care. I look at it like this. I think, Ronnie, what if you had a little baby at home? Just, you know, you're chained to some machine to make milk for it. And then, you know, all it does is cry and poop all over you and snot all over you. I just can't imagine being like, guys, I wish I could have brought that baby. I just don't understand the need.
Yeah. Most of my mom friends are like very happy to get away from their baby for 3 days.
Yeah, I feel like when I was born, my mom handed me off to like a cleaning lady and was like, here, you know, there's some Phronsie in the fridge. Later. I was just kind of raised with that. And look at me. I'm thriving. I'm thriving, guys.
So Ashley and Dean arrive with the nanny. And so they're all sitting around, they're talking. Monique has gone out of the room. And Wendy starts talking. She's like, you know, I'm actually really excited to get to know all you ladies on a deeper level because, and more importantly,
T'Challa flies right at her. And
T'Challa's like, you want to get to know me deeper?
And then we cut to commercial. And then we come back and it's, still, like that scream lasted for the whole 4 minutes of commercials.
T'Challa was just trying to go and perch himself on her shoulder, and she was not having it, and I would not have it either. I would also freak out. And they are all, it's like a horror movie. Giselle, Candace, and Karen are all by the microwave just cowering, like Jason Voorhees just barged through the door.
And Monique's like, oh my god, my wig! Oh, and my baby! Don't scare my baby! So she runs off to comfort T'Challa in the bathroom.
Yeah, and Robin's, by the way, hiding behind the island. They're just like, it was a panic. So T'Challa's just like on the toilet, and Monique goes, did they scare the poop out of you? And T'Challa goes, beep, and says, yes.
You gotta go or not, the camera's right there. Poop in front of the camera. We've got a book to sell, kid.
Oh, T'Challa got scared.
So Robin's like, well, Ashley, I thought Michael was going to take care of the baby. And she's like, oh, I just can't leave him. And Wendy's like, come on, Ashley. And Robin tells her, don't judge her. It's your third time having a baby. She's like, well, I'm not a new mother. I'm a mother.
Yeah.
And my baby had issues coming out. My baby was in NICU, okay?
Yeah, exactly. And she's basically like, my baby was premature, and it was like, you can't explain the pain the anxiety of all that, etc. But this is a girl's weekend, you know? And Ashley's like, well, but my husband has to go to work. And Wendy's like, yeah, but my husband's got to work too, okay? But like, he's all spend time with the kids, you know? Like, it's not that crazy.
But my husband owns a company. Well, my husband's a lawyer. But my husband owns his own company. It's like, my husband's an attorney. But you have a nanny. You have a nanny. That's my best friend. Well, she's your nanny too.
See, I understand why Wendy was getting angry now. Because Wendy was annoyed by the situation, but then Ashy's also giving her bullshit, too. Like, when Ashy's like, well, you have a nanny. Okay, I don't have a nanny. It's like, who the fuck just came in with you through that door? Who was that? And she's like, well, it's my friend. It's like, yeah, but she's still watching your kid. You have someone who can watch the kid. You have your mom, too.
Yeah. And then Ashley goes, well, just because you choose to spend time away from your child, that's your business. Okay, Wendy. Go in. Yeah. Take care of it. Do whatever you need to do. Yeah,
exactly. When Ashley did that, she's like, Wendy was like, you know, I know how much I sacrificed and suffered to be able to be here. I pumped around the clock. I was pumping every 2 hours. I put milk in my freezer just so I could spend the weekend with you ladies and make sure I am present. So I know it can be done. So I don't have sympathy for her saying she's a new mother. I was like, whoo.
I didn't ask for your sympathy. Mind your own business. Mind your own house. Go and FaceTime your kid if you want to see your kid.
And then they're just screaming at each other.
Yes.
And Monique's like, be quiet. And Robin carries the baby away out of the room. And Dean's just like, what the hell? Like, welcome to the rest of your life, okay? You are this now is... a cast member on The Real Housewives. So.
This is very scary for me. Wah, wah. Wah, wah.
I'm terrified of I'm screaming terrified. Ladies. Oh, wah.
I think I made a pee-pee in my diaper. Wah, wah.
This is the most boring chest I've ever lied on.
Hey.
Wah, wah.
Hey.
You know what I would love to do right now? I'd love it if someone gave me a pinky and I could just grab onto it. That's my favorite.
You know what you ladies need? A bouncy chair. That's what you need. No one's mad on a bouncy chair.
Let me ask you all this. Have you ever just been lying down and there's like a bunch of things dangling from a rod and they go around in circles sort of? Is that not the best thing you've ever seen? I don't think so. Wait, wait.
Maybe you should use those mouths less to yap and more to bite on big colorful plastic keys. Right? Wah, wah.
You know what's the best thing I ever saw? Was the time I sat at a restaurant for one person, me. It was called a high chair, and there was a table that wrapped around my body. Wah, wah. Now that's a restaurant concept.
Why are the milk ladies yelling at each other? Wah, wah. Oh, God. So Robin's like, I don't know what's going on. I mean, I have two kids, and my second, sometimes I don't even remember his name. So Wendy tripping over her third, please.
And now we know why that kid is always throwing himself in front of his mother. It's me, Carter! Who?
I think that's the funniest Robin's ever been. She was cracking up. And Monique's like, look, she wasn't comfortable to leave the baby, so I offered for her to bring the baby here. That's it. And Ashley's like, well, I do not like anyone criticizing me or my son. And she's projecting onto me. And guess what? Access denied. I'm not having that. I will not have it.
So then they basically, Karen's like, well, I'm in a great place. So can we just toast, please? Can we toast? My story is about not having a baby. So let's toast to that.
Wendy, put down your glass, Wendy. You don't need anything.
Now, Monique, remember, don't go driving after this. There are too many trees. Too many trees.
So Wendy has packed, I don't know, 30 suitcases for some reason. And so Candace is helping her up the stairs. And Karen calls Ray. And she's like, Ray, I made it safe, Ray. And he's like, wonderful. Do you miss me, Ray?
Ray, can you hear me? Ray, can you hear me? Ray, can you hear me?
Nothing. It's crickets. They put the cricket sound effect in there. She's like, do you miss me, Ray? Yes.
But it turns out this is an ongoing issue with all the women, because then we have Giselle trying to FaceTime with Grace. She's like, can you hear me, yeah? Can you hear me? Can you hear me, yeah? She's like, no, I was hoping you were going to say that I got those Nicki Minaj tickets, but clearly not.
If not, then the reception's bad. Gotta go, mom. Click. And then Wendy calls her kids, and he's like, you're frozen. And so Wendy goes to ask Monique if there's Wi-Fi, and she tells us, look, I don't have my baby. I don't have my life. There's a damn bird flying around. I feel like I'm an extra in Halloween. What the hell?
We all know if you were an extra in Halloween, you would have had bangs. So, come on.
So, Wendy asks her for Wi-Fi, and Monique's like, yeah, you know, we do. It sucks, though, but I'm just so glad we're out here. We're all going to get to know each other. And Wendy's like, yeah, I've been observing the dynamic. And Monique's like, yeah, speaking of the dynamic, there seemed to be a trigger moment there with Ashley. What's that about? And she's like, well, I had to plan all these things to be present. And the sheet should have said, bring the baby if that's okay. And the sheet did not say that. So, there.
Yeah. And Ashley just listening on in the next room. Also, did you notice that when Wendy asked for the Wi-Fi password, Monique was like, okay, let me give you the password. And she put down T'Challa. And T'Challa goes, no!
A bird.
I don't know if T'Challa was saying no about being put down or saying no because T'Challa didn't want Wendy to have the Wi-Fi password. Yeah. But I'm going to choose the latter because I love T'Challa being petty like that.
T'Challa's guarding his Wi-Fi.
Yeah.
So Monique's like, well, you know, if you had said you wanted to bring him, I would have told or to bring her, I would have told you, bring her. You know, there's no problem. But, you know, we don't really know you and we don't know how you talk yet. So maybe it came off a little harsh to us and you weren't being harsh. But it sounds like that because we don't know. She's being very diplomatic, you know. And Wendy's like, all right.
Yeah. So Wendy goes back to her room and Monique's like, did you get all that, T'Challa? And T'Challa's like, beep. Yeah, she's crazy.
So at night, Monique is doing her makeup to get ready for dinner with the bird. And the bird's eating an eyeliner. And she's like, what do you think of these women? Are you doing your makeup? And he's like, yes. And just keeps eating.
It's like, yes. And so then we have Candace FaceTiming Chris, which is, who cares? And then Ashley is swaddling little Dino. Oh, my favorite sort of sweater. The swaddle sweater. And then there's a private chef who's cooking dinner. And Candace is now taking the golf cart over to the guest house. And, of course, she, like, knocks on the front door. And she does the thing that we forgot was her original annoying trait. Before we start to really notice that square tissue in her eye is when she sings everything. She's like, hello.
Yeah, hello. And just, I was like, oh, Jesus, I was just putting on the worst thing I could possibly imagine putting on to make Karen mad. Come on in.
Yeah. Yeah. What are you doing here? So Candace is like, well, I just didn't feel like that talk that we had last week went so well. And, you know, it's just that when I saw you having a laugh at my expense, that really hurt me, you know? And Giselle's like, well, here's the thing. I gave you a little shave pinch. I just pinched you. Look at how I'm pinching your little leg right now. And you came at me with a billy club and a machete to knock my head off with your Twitter fingers. And that's not fair to me, yeah.
And she's like, well, instead of coming to you, I went to Instagram. And for that, I apologize. And then she tells us, I understand what it's like to be hurt. I understand what it's like to be attacked. And I understand what it's like to be misunderstood. I'm like, oh God, Candace. Jeez, where's the orchestra now to play you? To play you a nice, sad ballad.
And Giselle appreciates the apology, and she's like, it sounds like it's a real one for once. She's like, I do like Candace. She's like a nice little chihuahua that you bring to a party.
You were off the wedding list, but you're back on. There's an A list and a B list, and you're at least on the B list.
And Candace, I'm surprised Candace did not get mad about that. Like, I can't believe I'm not on Giselle's virtual A-list. I can't believe that with her theoretical wedding.
So they go over to dinner, a nice big pretty outdoor dinner at the house.
Oh, it's so serene back here. Now tell me, where are the acrobats? The acrobats coming in anytime soon?
And the pyro is there lighting the candles. And Monique's like, wow, I couldn't do this without Leaf. Honestly, Leaf. Thank you, Leaf. And Leaf's like, yep, you got it, lady. So then John, the fancy chef, is like, what I've put in front of you is an ode to the end of the summer. I'm sorry, that's Karen. This is a strawberry salad.
So Monique wants to play a game of curiosity. Each person will be asked a question by the entire group so that way they can go deeper. So Candace, what was it like for you with your peers in your school-age years?
And Candace is like, well, I was one of the few brown girls, so it was a struggle to fit in. And Ashley's like, well, is that why you pursued African-American studies? And Giselle goes, yes, is that why you got a nose job?
You got real deep there, Giselle. You didn't get your nose done? I thought it was common knowledge.
Candace is like, I got a nose job. And then they show pictures of her side by side, but I don't think it looks like she got a nose job.
Yeah, I don't think so either. I couldn't tell.
Yeah. So, yeah, Giselle's like, I thought it was common knowledge. And Candace is like, Robin, here's a question everybody is dying to know. Are you going to marry Juan? I was like, oh, my God. We wouldn't even know what season this was. Like, if Never. It was just this clip, you know?
Seriously. So she's like, well, I don't know. I mean, the ball is in his court, which is a pun because he plays basketball.
And then Karen's like, well, Giselle, since Jamal cheated on you and had babies with other women, how is it being back with a man who would do that to you? And she's like, well, I'm really glad that you asked that, Karen. Not really. Yeah. It's all about forgiveness. And that was 20 years ago. And I forgive him.
Yeah. And Karen's like, well, I don't know how you can, she tells us, I don't know how you can trust a man that had babies with a woman in the congregation. I'm just saying. And then we see a headline that says, Jamal Bryant believes in open marriage, but forgot to tell his wife.
And then Giselle's like, well, I have a question for Ashley. Has your booty hole healed?
We're getting real deep. I'm glad these women are reintroducing themselves.
First of all, thank you for sharing at a dinner about your booty hole condition. Is your booty hole very important to your marriage? Do you use your booty hole with Michael?
And now it's time for Karen to ask a question to Wendy. She's like, according to the girls, you have questions about my intimacy with my husband, Ray. Giselle mentioned it to me, and Robin was a little tattletale of Robin. She's owning it. She's owning that she's a tattletale. Look at her. Just look at how she's playing with her fork right there. Oh, the fork's in her hair. Nice tribute to Little Mermaid Robin. Tattletale Robin.
First of all, if you want to get inside my panties, that's not how to get to know me. So, do you have something you want to say to me, Wendy? And yes, I did segue this from a booty hole question. And Wendy's like, ever since I met you, it seems like there's something going on, like you're very dismissive. And she goes, I don't think I dismissed you. I was like, that was dismissive.
That was dismissive. I mean, I've said it to everyone. I'll say it to you. I don't know you. This is the first time we've sat down for more than 5 minutes. I mean, I thought you were the waitress at first, and I was about to kick you out of that seat for our new cast member, who still hasn't even arrived, but it's lovely that you came to pay us a visit, lady from the street.
And Wendy tells us, Karen, we sit on the board together. We're on the same subcommittee of the same board. There are 5 people on the same subcommittee. Karen.
Well, all right. I mean, I am always going to be kind to people from Payless who come to visit us here in the Monique's home by the lake. So, yes, Payless employee, if you want to have dinner with me, you can have dinner with me, and we can learn about each other.
Yes, would you like to go to lunch or to dinner before you ask me about my coochie box? And she's like, oh, okay, I got it. Your coochie box is on lock. Okay, noted. Well, why don't we do dinner first or lunch? What should we do? And she's like, fine, let's do a dinner. Oh, a dinner. Fine, we'll do a dinner.
And thank you in advance for paying. That's so lovely of you.
Yeah. So Wendy tries to start with Ashley like in a nice way, right? She's like, well, look, sometimes I'm a tough nut to crack. And Monique's like, whoa, I mean, you weren't tough to crack, but you were just tough in the kitchen. I mean, what the hell? And Giselle goes, oh, yes, that was all started by you, by the way. Yeah.
And she's like, well, it touched a sensitive spot. And she's like, well, you were ferocious. I was passionate.
Ferocious, you were ferocious.
Candace, meanwhile, is just like checking her mascara in the knife reflection. I know. The butter knives, they really serve a lot of purposes for her.
I know. Candace should sell silverware at this point.
Yeah. So Ashley's like, well, you talked about me bringing Dean, and then you talked about my husband, and you brought my husband into the equation, and you just had to pop off.
And she's like, well, that was not a pop off. I mean, I can't pop off, but that wasn't it.
It was a pop.
I can't pop off, but that wasn't a pop off.
It was a pop.
did you apologize yet for it, Wendy? Did you apologize? And Wendy's like, okay, so here's the issue. It was my delivery. I had, you know, like, I had a bad delivery. And Ashley's like, Len, you were doing this, and you're still doing this to me. Because Wendy, when Wendy was talking, she was sort of, like, putting her hand forward, like, she's a little, like... She was pointing at her with, like, all five fingers. Like, it was almost like she was, like, petting an invisible animal right in front of her, you know? She's just, like, doing it that way. And so Ashley was like, but you're still doing this thing with your hand at me, and you're talking about your delivery, you know? And Wendy's like, well, why can't my hand be like this? What's wrong with you? Why can't my hand be like this?
It's aggressive. It is not aggressive. It is. It's aggressive. It is not aggressive. It's aggressive. Pop off. Pop off.
And Robin's like, well, you were just frustrated to get here and realize that you didn't bring your baby. And she's like, yes. So apologize? No, I do not feel like I need to apologize. And Ashley's like,
but you just admitted that your delivery.
She's like, well, I don't think that warrants an apology.
But pop off, pointing pop off.
So finally Ashley goes, you know what? I'm good on you. I'm good on you. And Robin's like,
well, Wendy, why don't you have regret?
And Wendy's like, it's done. It's done. She's good on me. It's done. It's done. Forget it. It's done. It's done. She's like,
no, but let's take Ashley out of the equation.
Oh, I would like that quite a bit. Yes.
Okay. No, just theoretically, let's take her out of the equation. Like if you were like got mad at me about something from home, don't you think you would like should apologize to me for going at me? And Wendy's like, no, I'm not going to apologize. I don't think it's worthy of an apology.
And that's why you don't have any female friends.
She goes, no, I don't have any female friends because I don't deal with fake bitches like you. And then everyone's like, whoa.
Yeah. Because she says she has female friends, but she just doesn't deal with fake bitches like Ashley. So Ashley's like, so then she's like, well, this is why you don't have female friends. She just sort of says it again. To reiterate, and Giselle's like, I don't know what happened. It's almost as if we have instigated a fight between these two women. I don't know what happened.
And Giselle's just slowly putting on lip gloss during the whole thing. So funny.
Yeah.
So and now Wendy's, it's just like, I have female friends. I am a female. And now she's like, well, you get defensive and that's unwarranted. And she's like, that defensiveness is checking your ass. Check, check, I'm checking. Oh, you better not check me. Check, check. Ah, pop off, check. Mourning. Just thought I'd get that in there.
And then Wendy goes, I don't talk to your kind. And don't call me Wendy. People like you don't call me Wendy. People like you call me Dr. Wendy. Address me correctly, sweetie.
And Ashley's going,
gone with the wind. She's gone with the wind, Wendy. Bye, Wendy. Gone with the wind, Wendy. Bye.
I loved it. I love that Wendy said that about call me Dr. Wendy. Because it was just like, fuck you, bitch. I'm smarter than you. I'm more established than you. I've got more of a future than you. And I'm just going to rub it in your face, even if I may not be totally in the right in this situation.
Well, she can sure stick to her guns. I'll give her that.
Yeah, that's what I liked about it. I liked that they were like, she was like, no, you're not going to walk over me. Like, you are not, like, this is what I do for a living on cable news, so I can definitely handle you.
Yeah. I fought with Sean Hannity, ma'am. You think I'm scared of you?
Oh, I loved it.
Yeah, well, that brings us to the end of Real Housewives of Potomac, everybody. Thanks so much for being with us. We will be back tomorrow with Below Deck Mediterranean. And next up after that is Selling Sunset, Beverly Hills, and the season finale of Real Housewives New York City, okay?
Yeah, Beverly Hills Reunion Part 1, okay?
Thanks so much for being here. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Bye, everyone.
Bye. Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors.
Ain't no thing like Allison King.
Ashley Savoni, she don't take no baloney.
She's not just a Sheila, she's a Daniela.
Itchels.
Let's run some errands with Emily Ahrens.
Erin McNicholas, she don't miss no trickolas.
Hava Nagila Weber.
Jamie, she has no last namey.
Sip some scotch with Jessica Trotch.
Just saying, okay.
Higher than high res, she's Lauren Perez.
Megan Berg, you can't have a burger without the Berg.
You don't touch the Nicky Morgan letters.
One day you're Rachel Zinn, the next day you're out.
He makes us squee, Richie D.
There ain't no problem that Sarah Salvia can't solve ya.
Janin better than Kyle Richards.
The Bay Area Betches,
bitches.
And our super premium sponsors,
Nancy, Cease and Desisto.
Let's rev our pistons for Amanda and Kristen.
Better than Tabbouleh, it's Annie and Julie.
Let's give them a kissa, it's Austin and Marissa.
Somebody get us 10 cc's of Betsy MD.
We're taking the gold with Brenda Silva.
Erica, 500 Days of Summers.
We will, Joanna Rockland, you.
The incredible, edible Matthew Sisters.
The Wyndham Beneath Our Wings, it's Joe Wyndham.
Let's go on a bender with Lauren Fender.
Lordess, the Lordess of the Rings.
No one makes us feel well like Megan Cap Sewell. Mina Coochie Coochie Coochie.
Give him hell, Miss Noel. Shannon, out of a cannon, Anthony.
Let's get racy with Miss Stacy.
Let's take off with Tamla Plain.
She ain't no shrinking Violet Couture. We love you guys.